Hey, Blair.
Hey Adam, how's it going?
All right, not too bad. What's new?
Not much. Just been more social lately. I mean,
Have you?
it's
What you been doing?
we went and climbed and had brunch with some friends. Then we last weekend drove down to Richmond, Virginia, and spent some time with the in-laws for my sister-in-law's 40th birthday,
Isn't
and
that
then
where you
this
got married?
weekend, close, yeah,
Yeah.
about an hour north between Richmond and DC is where we got married.
Oh yeah, I remember. I remember.
Yeah, I
Very
know you
messy,
were
messy day that
you were a train wreck the day afterwards.
We
You
spoke
were the most
about
hungover
that?
person I've ever
Oh
seen in my
my
life.
God, I
Yeah, we
think
thought you were dead.
I've not been that hungover. I actually haven't been hungover since that day. I never ever drink to the point where I get hangovers. Like, I'm usually the type of guy to just have a drink on a night out or a day out, or maybe two drinks maximum. I don't ever keep drinking, but like, you Americans, like, just kept feeding me alcohol, and like, I was struggling to say no. And oh my God, the next day I was a broken man.
It is. It's interesting. Like, there seems to be this American obsession with like getting a foreigner to realize how much we can drink. It's like, you're not from America. Let's show you how much we can drink, buddy.
But I'm not like a good representation of like what like a drinker should be able to handle because I don't drink that much.
I don't either. Like, I mean, I like a good bottle of wine. We'll drink some whiskey when we smoke a cigar or share a bottle of wine on a weekend, but I mean, I'm not like a daily drinker, and I definitely don't like drinking until I'm inebriated. But I mean, it was my wedding, so I think that's a different story.
Very true. And the way you woke up the next day and you two were just so fine, and then you went to like what a brewery and carried on drinking. I struggled
It
to
was a
walk.
distillery, bud. Yeah, we went and t tasted whiskey.
Man, I don't know how you did it. I
Yeah.
literally like I slept in your bed all day.
Yeah, you were dead to the world.
Right, what are we talking about?
So we are going to talk about something that I think has blown up in the, I guess, more individual commercial side of things, which is, to use the technical term, cryotherapy, which is ice baths, cold immersion.
Ice, baby.
Yeah, we'll have to see if I can get the license to that song and cue it up. Yeah, it's something that I definitely was very familiar with in grad school, and we utilized at the facility working for the Miami Dolphins. But now I see like Instagram posts for personal cold pods, people making them at their home and doing them on a regular basis. It's getting a little extreme. It's getting, it's almost on the level of intermittent fasting with the cult following, in my opinion.
I mean, like, I definitely think that there should be awareness around it so people understand the benefits to it. But I do think it's become a trend to the point where people are doing it thinking it's healthy, not actually realizing what they're doing.
It's one of those things that, to pull from a earlier episode on health being contextual, in this case it's more about physical health than nutritional health. But what do you mean by healthy? What does it mean that this is healthy? What effect are you trying to elicit through doing this activity?
All right. Well, I mean, I've just been playing sport with a friend. So I was playing paddle, which is I've explained before. It's like a doubles game, like a doubles tennis game. And afterward, my partner, me and him, just sat down and had a coffee. And so he started talking to me, saying like, "Oh, he knows another fella who he plays paddle with, who is setting up a company where they." Which apparently is quite big in Canada, where they have loads of saunas and ice baths in rooms next to each other. And so it's like a huge sauna followed by lots of different ice baths, so people can alternate between the two. So I guess like more like a shared space so that people can use them, which I was like, okay, fair enough. Like, and apparently it's taken off in Canada. So I guess I asked, you know, like, why? And then so he basically said to me, like, you know, I know that ice baths are good for you, but he goes, but I don't know why. And so I was like, okay. And it made me realize, I think that's a lot of people's logic in general. They think it's good for you, but they don't actually understand why. So I thought it'd be a good episode to talk about, because there are huge benefits to like cold and hot heat therapy, but people, if they don't understand why you're doing it, then I guess my next question is, why are you doing it? Like, that benefit doesn't apply to you unless you know what the benefit is.
Yeah, I love that. I know it's good for you, but I don't know why. And it's how do you know it's good for you then? You know, what makes you assume that? And I think it boils down to, because someone else who seems confident said so.
Yeah.
And not informed, not necessarily an expert on it, just someone who seems confident. And we've said it before back in the clubhouse days, and I'll say it, I'll die on this hill. Someone who actually understands what they're talking about on a topic should be able to explain it to a grad fellow, you know, someone who's actually deep in the research on said topic, and, you know, a middle schooler. If you can't explain it to both parties, then you don't really know what you're talking about. You're bullshitting.
Well, let's do it then. Let's break it down. All right.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? I guess like I started on this topic of like, you know, why would someone want to do an ice bath? And so then my first question back was, well, like, do you understand what happens to your body from a muscle breakdown perspective? And so like, you know, under what circumstances would an ice bath benefit you? And so, you know, and then the conversation went on to people who do intensive exercise on numerous days, back-to-back forms of exercise. So for example, well, let's go like NFL players or UK football players or anyone who does like CrossFit, you know, the CrossFit games, you know, athletes who do extreme intense exercise, and they have to do it like a few days back to back, you know, some people run 10 marathons in 10 days and things like that. So, or ultra marathoners, those are the sort of people who I think would benefit from having an ice bath after exercise, because what an ice bath would do is it would slow down the breakdown. It would slow down the breakdown of muscle tissue so that they're able to perform at that same level of exercise as they did the day before.
Yeah, so to me that sounds like wires are getting crossed. As far as, you know, because just to kind of illustrate the point of where ice baths have gotten, I just did a quick Google search on the benefits of ice baths. Because I will talk in depth. I actually did this as a, I want to say it was a debate. It might have just been a presentation where me and a partner in a class called Exercise Endocrinology during my grad school, like, really dove deep into ice baths and are they worth it? Well, not just ice baths. So cryotherapy is not, so ice baths are probably the most popular and accessible. But there's also like cold rooms where, you know, at the facility we had, you walked into like the pre-chamber and that's where you got dressed. And that room was like minus 60 degrees. And then you went into the cold room and that was minus 167 degrees.
Yeah.
And you had to wear like gloves, anything to cover your face, because anything that like moisture exited out of could freeze in that, you know, instantly, like your lips could freeze together, and it could, you know, the inside of your nose could freeze, and it could actually cause like nosebleeds and stuff because it's so cold. You only stayed in that room for like 5 minutes. It was not a you know, unlike ice baths where you can kind of hang out in them for a while. But when you look it up, like just the general like I want to know if ice baths are good for me. To your client's point, I know they're good for me, so why do I do them? I don't know why they're good for me. I just know they are. Google tells me there's like 20 plus items here, and some of them don't even make sense. Decreased muscle soreness, inflammation, improved circulation. This one just says metabolism. It cools down your body. Okay, I don't know what that means. Like, yes, that's technically true, but how is that a benefit? Discipline, improve glycemic control, just the word sleep, so on. So improves muscle recovery, the word central nervous system. You know, it's not even saying what it's doing to those things. It's just listing, you know, systems or parts of the body.
And I disagree with that. I don't think it does improve muscle recovery because it slows down the breakdown of muscle tissue. So
it doesn't improve muscle recovery. But that's the problem is when you Google it, it just has this list of things and people that don't understand, they don't know how to look into it further, are just gonna be like, oh, it improves your central nervous system. And it's like, how? What is it doing to your central nervous system? Where's the research on that tells me this is actually, you know, so.
Well, and it doesn't improve blood circulation because it narrows your blood vessels.
Right. And so that's where I'm starting to get what I mean by the wires being crossed as far as what it does for you. Okay. So, you know, because I pulled up a couple and one of them said, aids in exercise recovery. When you get out of an ice bath, your blood vessels dilate or widen, which increases circulation. I guess that's technically true because when you're in the ice bath, your blood vessels are severely restricted and constricted. So
it would be more true
when you get out
for someone.
When you get out, they're going to widen. But it's one of those like, is that actually a benefit? You know, or is it too late? And because so to start with the like, what do ice baths do? Like, what can we confidently say based on the research? What is happening in the body? What do they do? And then we can talk about
who it benefits.
Do they benefit certain systems? So essentially, there is a primary effect of ice baths, which is, it releases a hormone called ET1 or endothelin-1, which is a very potent vasoconstrictor, helps constrict and narrow blood vessels. So the flow of blood to the muscle is restricted, and that causes the reduction of inflammatory bodies to and from the muscle, like C-reactive protein, IL-6, you know, these reactive bodies that cause inflammation for recovery, quote unquote.
Okay.
So basically the main effect of it is to reduce blood flow to and from the muscle.
And swelling.
Which is blood flow. You got to think about it. Blood flow is our body's primary and predominant way of transporting really everything, but I mean our energy, our oxygen, our inflammatory bodies, our messaging system, our hormones, like a lot of that flows predominantly through blood.
Yeah.
What they are trying to propose is that it's basically a cure-all. You feel less soreness, that's good for recovery. You're not as inflamed, that's good for recovery.
Sure.
And I think it's too blanket, meaning the ultimate benefit from what I saw in research and from what I experienced in my time with this stuff on hand was, it is really ideal and it is awesome for people who do have to perform at a high level day after day after day. Reducing inflammation and muscle breakdown can absolutely improve what's called accumulated fatigue. You're not breaking down as much every day. So therefore, Monday to Friday, you're roughly the same or similarly broken down and recovered from doing some form of cryotherapy.
But there's a downside to that, which we can come on to in a bit.
Does it improve, we'll call it perceived recovery? Does it improve aches, pains, swelling, inflammation, breakdown? Yes, 100%. It absolutely, I think that is backed by research. It does do that.
Yeah.
Where it gets muddy is the muscle recovery side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like all the markers you just said, people would turn around and say, well, that's why I would do ice baths, because like my inflammation's decreased, you know, my soreness have decreased. Right. But if you're stopping the breakdown of muscle tissue, then how are your muscles ever supposed to break down so that they can regrow stronger and, you know, so that you're capable of doing more? So essentially, ice baths are stopping progress.
What the way people are using them is they exercise and then they almost immediately go and immerse themselves in an ice bath.
Yeah.
Stop the breakdown, stop the swelling, stop the inflammation. And the problem with that is no thing in and of itself is all bad. Cholesterol, inflammation, you name it, it's not 100% bad. Excessive amounts, constantly, chronically elevated levels of stress, cortisol, cholesterol, inflammation, yes, those are bad. So just to be like, oh, inflammation equals bad, equals pain, equals aches, so it needs to be stopped, is where it's called a logical leap or a logical gap. And so the idea was, yeah, stop inflammation because inflammation is bad. That's what causes soreness.
But inflammation isn't bad because inflammation promotes recovery.
Correct. You know, like, as a matter of fact, when you go like a post-surgery diet, you go low in inflammatory bodies. Doctors do not prescribe anti-inflammatories for the first week or two after a surgery because that inflammation is necessary to trigger a muscle growth response.
Yeah.
It's necessary to trigger recovery. So, yeah, part of it is through this vasoconstriction and reduction of inflammation, you're not triggering the muscle growth response. But there's another side of that coin too, in the opposite direction, which is you're also inhibiting the body's ability to deliver amino acids to the muscle for growth and recovery. So if you immediately constrict blood flow to the muscle, you can't deliver the energy, the proteins needed to build new muscle.
So basically, you're going to be at complete standstill. It's like being in a plateau.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the research has shown, is that while it may be good for that accumulated fatigue, when used excessively, you know, daily and in the wrong manner, it absolutely attenuates or reduces muscle growth.
Which is why I probably started off at the wrong point, but said that most people who use ice baths would usually be people who do intense forms of exercise back to back to back, predominantly because that's what they're paid to do. But you'll find as soon as these people like take a week off or whatnot, they won't be doing ice baths, I promise you that, because they want their muscles to recover so that they can then improve on what they're doing. But, you know, a lot of these athletes are pretty happy with the standard they're at during competing season. They're not trying to get better, they're just trying to compete at the same level consistently, and then off season they won't be doing ice baths because the goal is to improve.
Right. They're not under as extreme load, meaning like they're not practicing 5-6 hours a day. They're not also lifting within that training session. You know, it's less taxation on the body, so there's less need for instant recovery.
Yeah.
You know, they'll still do active recovery, Normatec, assault bikes, etc., but they're not going to do these more extreme measures for recovery and inflammation because they don't need it. Like you said, their point is to reduce inflammation in the season and be ready to go tomorrow versus off season. Their job is, and their point, their mission is to gain new muscle, lean out, you know, improve their athletic status.
What about someone who would challenge this by saying, after an ice bath, I go in the sauna straight away?
So I think there is the possibility that the damage has been done.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You've already restricted the blood flow and inhibited that inflammatory response that's necessary. We proposed at the end of this presentation that they should start doing research on ice baths like 2 hours post-training as opposed to immediately post-training. So you train, you feed, and then you go and do an ice bath to stop the inflammation after it's already elicited the desired effect. So they don't, that research had not come out at the time of this, this is a couple years ago. It might be out there. I did a quick search for it and didn't see it, but you got a 2 hour window of optimal anabolic timing for protein consumption to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. So if you could, allow the inflammation to start, kick in the mTOR pathway through protein consumption, and then go and try to reduce inflammation necessarily, would you see the same reduction in muscle recovery and muscle growth? And if so, do you see the same benefit in inflammation and accumulated fatigue?
But we
And
don't know
so
enough about that yet, do we?
I don't believe so, and I think that's one of those, unfortunately, it's a great idea, but research takes a long time to get approved, to get funded, to come out, to reach the public, et cetera. So it's a.
I still think like it w would stop recovery from being its best because even though the inflammation is where it needs to be, like the reduction of blood flow afterwards would then stop it from doing what it needs to do.
But you've already gotten those inflammatory bodies into the necessary tissues, and you've already supplied the protein needed to start the pathway for muscle growth. So
Understandable.
I'm not saying that it's absolutely going to be the same as not doing an ice bath whatsoever. The question
Yeah.
is, do you get like a mitigated best of both worlds through that process? We don't know. This is all speculation. The
Yeah.
proof is in the pudding, so we can only figure that out through doing research on it. But I certainly think it's a better strategy than jumping in an ice bath right away.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I think, to be honest, like so far we've made it sound like ice baths are bad for you. So like where's the underlying line where people can turn around and say, but they are good for you? Where would someone benefit from it?
So I don't think we've said that they're absolutely bad for you. We've admitted that they're good for accumulated fatigue. I think they are great for reducing inflammation. So if, to the point of the athlete, if gaining muscle is not your priority, then there's no problem with them. But the question then becomes for the casual person who just kind of is very active and they don't need to perform at 100% because they're not a professional athlete. Like, what are you doing it for? And that I think is ultimately the question of, is it to practice resilience? Because I do
Which
think
in
they
that
teach
case is
that.
great,
It's
absolutely.
amazing. One of the best
Yeah.
things you can do, because if you haven't been in an ice bath, it sucks.
Like learning
Like,
how to breathe in the shock of that amount of cold temperature and like being able to calm your nerves and deal with that mental load of like not panicking and like losing your breath. I think that's a skill, which you can only learn by immersing yourself in it.
right. And I think like anybody that says ice baths feel great are confusing the triumph after the struggle with the feeling of the struggle. So it feels really good to finish a test that you've been studying for 2 weeks every night, going balls to the wall at the library, cramming for a test. No, it doesn't feel good to take the test. It feels good to be done with the test and the studying. And so that, like, same with an ice bath. It doesn't feel good to get into that shocking cold frozen water. It feels good afterwards because of the resilience, the determination, the reduced inflammation. Like, the feeling afterwards is nice, but being in it sucks. I mean,
But
it
then,
is not comfortable.
yeah, but then there are other benefits to it as well. Like, it can massively help improve your immune system. I think I read a study, I can't remember where I read it, but like a lot, they took, I can't remember, I think it was like 1,000 people, and they told them every day for a year to do a 30-second cold shower at the end of their normal shower. And for the people who actually completed it, they looked at the people sick days the year previous to the year that they were doing 30 seconds of cold showers, and they took 30% less sick days at work.
So the research coming out does seem to support immune boosting and stress reduction.
Yes, stress reduction is huge.
I think some of that might be tied to resilience aspect, the mental
Absolutely.
Aspect of it.
Yeah, if you put yourself through something far more stressful than your everyday stress, even if it is for only a minute or 30 seconds or 5 minutes, then your everyday stress becomes less of a stress.
One of the ones that came up too that I disagree with entirely based off the research that's out there is metabolism boosting. And this is one of those things that people don't know how to separate research. Once again, we bring up research, so we'll have a discussion on that soon. But basically, they're trying to cite from research that cold exposure activates what's called BAT, or brown adipose tissue, which is different than the type of fat that most of us have, which is white adipose tissue or white fat. And brown adipose tissue is much more metabolically active, so it can boost your metabolism. Infants, babies have brown adipose tissue, but what we've seen is that it absolutely disappears, and there are, I believe, zero or nearly zero cases of adult humans with brown adipose tissue. Research showing that brown adipose tissue is enhanced or increased through cold exposure is purely in rodents. And you can't cross-reference. You can't say that because it happens in rodents that it's going to benefit humans in the same way. It cannot happen.
We're not rats.
There might be an increase in calorie expenditure from people who do ice baths or cryotherapy daily, and that would purely be through the shivering effect. Your body is actually trying to generate heat through micro motion. So
your neat increases.
You're burning calories by shivering to bring your body temperature up.
Yeah.
Not because of an increase in brown adipose tissue. Some of that stuff, I think they just kind of...
It's a bit far-fetched.
They're reaching.
They're pinching a little bit.
And they can say it's research-backed, quote-unquote, but really it's... The research is adjacent at best. It's not a direct human saw an improvement in their metabolism through cryotherapy. So I think it's one of those, like intermittent fasting, like any of these trends we wind up talking about, if it seems like it's all benefits and benefits you don't quite understand with no negatives or side effects, you're joining a cult, and nothing is all positive, just like nothing is all negative. So,
Wim
I think
Hof
it's one of those...
Wim Hof won't be happy with this episode.
Who?
Wim Hof.
Oh, no. Iceman's going to come after us after he hears this. But I think it's one of those... The reasons he's doing it is for better breathing techniques and better, oxygen delivery and things that might improve. I think he is a little extreme with some of the benefits he proposes.
Right, but I think he's extreme because he's trying to bring awareness to it. I don't think he encourages people to do it every single day. I think he has to be extreme to get the exposure.
Correct.
And I don't think he genuinely believes that every human should be doing ice baths every single day. But I do agree that cold exposure is really important to get, and I think it has benefits, but I think people are being far too extreme with ice baths and doing them daily, not realizing what they're doing or why they're doing it. And so I actually think the breakdown of this episode and how we talk about what it actually does to the body, and so will make people realize, oh, well, you know what, if I want to do an ice bath just on weekends, or I can every day this week I will do an ice bath, and for 1 week of the month I just go crazy and ice bath every day because I want the resilience, I want the mental effect, I want to control my breathing better, they understand now what they're doing. But someone who's trying to build muscle or, physically grow and progress in their sport and whatnot might turn around and go, well, it's off season, so I probably shouldn't ice bath right now. And so, I feel like people will have a better understanding of when an ice bath is beneficial versus maybe I shouldn't right now, etc.
I agree with that. I think understanding why you're doing it and then applying that to your desired effect. And so are you trying to, are you a, you know, semi-pro athlete who does have multiple races within, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours of each other? We heard about a guy a number of years ago, I think he wrote a book called Finding Ultra, where he ran like 9 Ironmans in 9 days in Hawaii or something like that. And it's like, yeah, he should probably be ice bathing because his mission for those 9 days is to run an Ironman every day, not to grow muscle between races.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, think about it more acutely rather than this is good versus this is bad and it's good, but I don't understand why.
Yeah. I've enjoyed this episode. I think we've spoke some good stuff on cold therapy, and maybe next time we can touch more on like heat therapy.
Yeah, you brought up saunas, and I had some stuff I wanted to talk about, but we're already over half an hour on this one, so we should probably call it quits.
Yeah, we'll touch on the heat side of things next time.
Nice.
All right, bye.
Peace.
A Healthy Debate is sugar positive and likely contains gluten and peanuts. This episode was produced by Blair Solberger. Adam doesn't help with editing in any way, shape, or form. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Instagram at A Healthy Debate or email us at ahealthydebatepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.